Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome to a special program of celebration. A program of words and music from around the Caribbean. A program to celebrate a special day, World Food Day. A day to remind us that for every one of us, food comes first. And we should have much to be thankful for. Good harvests and full stomachs have always been a good reason for celebration. But I wonder if we've got all that much to celebrate these days. It seems that wherever we live in the Caribbean, if it's the Leewards or Windwards, in Jamaica or Barbados, Belize or Guyana, in the Bahamas, Trinidad and Tobago, it's mostly other people's harvests that we've come to depend on. Yes, you just take a look at these things you buy next time you go shopping, man. Tin fish, Canada. Dried milk, New Zealand. Rice, Australia. Orange juice, Florida. Bread, yes, even the wheat for our bread comes from our big northern neighbors. You still don't believe me? Then listen to someone who really ought to know.
We import almost 50 to 60% of our dairy and meat products. Perhaps about 90% of our cereal requirements. We import another 50 or 60% of fruit and vegetables.
That's Winston Rudder of the Ministry of Agriculture in Port of Spain. He's talking about Trinidad and Tobago, of course, but you'll find the stories much the same in Barbados, Bahamas, or Jamaica.
I think attitudes is a big problem. Traditional attitudes of people fashioning their taste to that of metropolitan countries. I believe that having tourism as an industry to which much emphasis has been paid, I think that agriculture has not received the kind of attention, the sort of desired effect.
Mrs. Carmita Fraser, president of the National Organization of Women of Barbados. In most Caribbean countries, though, even if agriculture wasn't totally neglected, it certainly wasn't food production that got the priority. And why not? Every country exports to import. Our sugar or bananas, copra or citrus, even oil and bauxite for the lucky ones. Unfortunately, our exports don't buy as much as they used to. Read it in the paper. Hear it on the news. Bridgetown, Barbados. Sugar's contribution to the Barbados economy continues to fall, exposing the frailty of a one-crop economy. Kingston, Jamaica. Disease and low prices have been responsible for a fall in coconut production. Georgetown, Guyana. Income from bauxite is failing to match that of earlier years. Port of Spain, Trinidad. Drop in world oil prices hits Trinidad economy. So, more of our exports buy less imports. And if that wasn't bad enough, to sell some traditional exports like sugar in Trinidad often means selling at a loss.
What is clear, however, that all signals point to the fact that we do not enjoy any advantage in the production of sugar for export. Our costs are 4-5 times that above what the world price is at the present time. So there's no way we can become competitive in sugar.
It all sounds very depressing, but you know, there's no need for us to be depressed because Winston Rudder and people like him all around the Caribbean, they're not depressed, despite the problems. In fact, they see the problems as challenges which we can overcome.
We have land in Trinidad and Tobago. We also have people who are capable, and there's a demand for the commodities that we need.
fact, all around the Caribbean, politicians, Ministry of Agriculture people, farmers themselves, all believe that we have already all the basic things to make food production take off. For instance, listen first to a senior politician, an agricultural permanent secretary in Jamaica, Anstill Sangster.
Well, Jamaica has always depended on agriculture for its stability. We are blessed with good rainfall and fairly good soil type for growing all types of food.
Tobago's master farmer last year, Heathcote John, knows what's possible as a farmer.
People really were really taking off the land because of oil. Well, now the economy is dwindling away. The only thing that could be resorted to now is back to the land. And I could see no reason why farming could not be one of the main activities in Tobago. Because Tobago was really the food basket of Trinidad before the oil boom.
And a farmer in Barbados, Benjamin King.
My name is Benjamin Rowland King. I have here roughly about 10 acres, a little over 10 acres of land. Mostly cucumbers, and carrots, beets, a bit of cauliflower, and peppers, you know, hot peppers. When a country can produce its own food, it's much cheaper. At least it cuts down on the import bill, you know, foreign exchange and things like that. Each country should be able to produce its own amount of food, at least.
And not just farm-grown food, but fish. There can't be many places in the Caribbean that's too far from the sea to get fish. A point made by senior fisheries officer in Tobago, Ewell Caesar.
From where we stand, if you look out there, you'd see that all we have is sea around us. You find that most of the villages close to the sea have the majority of fishermen in Tobago, and a large percentage of them earn their livelihood from fishing directly. There are a lot of fish in Tobago.
And the blowing of conch shells means there's plenty fish for sale in the streets of Scarborough. Catching fish is one thing, but soon raising fish in fish farms could make even more fish available at lower prices. All around the Caribbean, the idea of fish farming is coming on, including the Bahamas, as we hear from Fisheries Director Ronald Thompson.
With the conditions that we have going for us, the unpolluted large areas of shallow protected waters that we have in the Bahamas, that within, say, 5 or 10 years, fish farming or aquaculture is going to be an important aspect of our fishing industry.
The fishing is my business. Say what you like, that's how I earn my pay.
In anticipation of this, we are expecting to have FAO expert, or two experts actually, come out in the near future to look at the situation for us.
God save your skin. I'm a prophet, man. Don't give a hell where you come.
Also, the government has recently approved certain incentives that prospective entrepreneurs can benefit from if they plan to do aquaculture ventures in the Bahamas.
Agriculture, fisheries, fish farming, things are changing fast out there on the land and in the water. Ronald Thompson spoke of Bahamian government help for entrepreneurs. But where do we find entrepreneurs? Especially young people with energy, ambition, willingness to learn new techniques and try new ideas. One way, maybe the best way, is to catch them young and teach them how to think differently about agriculture and food production.
My father planted cane, therefore I'll continue to plant cane. But in terms of the new techniques, the new methods, the new varieties, and the new way in terms of agriculture being a scientific vocation, we've got to look at the younger people to see if we can make them to become farmers. And it's very difficult to bend a tree when it's old.
That's Jabez Stevens, secretary organizer of the Young Farmer Training 4-H Clubs in Jamaica. Talking about the need for our young men and women to get back to the land is one thing, but talking is not enough.
Well, in recent years, we have seen young people motivated, wanting to continue, but unfortunately, there has not been the tools with which to do the job. We have had a lot of talk in terms of young people not wanting to go back to their land. But our young people are not seeing many farmers out there today who are making money.
And this is exactly where it's at.
I like to farm, do some planting of yam and banana, sugar cane, and vegetable and things like that. I work in the field. I look from up the banana. I look about the vegetable and the fence. I've been working here for 5 years now. I have my girlfriend and a kid. And it's pretty hard, but it's still going on.
Our farmers are confident. They can feed us if they have our support and government help. But their task is likely to get more difficult before it gets easier. Each year, in all our countries in the Caribbean, there are more children, more mouths to feed. Ask an old grandma how many children and grandchildren she has.
Plenty. Yeah, amount I can't count them. Family too much. Can't count them.
This is something that the Director General of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization spoke about at last year's World Food Day.
Il est bon de se rappeler que la population mondiale va sans doute augmenter de 40% d'ici la fin.
Let me remind you that between now and the end of the century, a 40% increase is expected in world population, and most of this increase will be in the developing countries, already beset by famine and malnutrition. If the Earth is to sustain this increased population, production from agriculture, fisheries and forestry must be increased by 60% by the year 2000. Now, the year 2000 is only 18 years away.
Now, a year later, it's only 17 years away. So, can we make it? Can we increase our own food production fast enough? Can we achieve what the experts call national food security, but which to you and me means growing more food, storing more food, and making sure we can all afford to buy enough food? We can, if we follow the Barbadian slogan, eat what you grow what you eat. All of us need to do whatever we can to achieve self-sufficiency in food. Governments, farmers, and consumers in the Caribbean have a great chance to prove that food comes first.
The need for self-sufficiency in food is supposed to be obvious. A nation which is dependent on another for food, something is wrong and something could get worse.
Sure. I think it's a very good idea of buying what we produce, more of what we produce, instead of this importing, because if what we import, it costs money. And at the same time, our stuff spoils. It's a beautiful island. Most everything we grow here. So I think what we need here is that people to cooperate and put hands and heart together. And we will get along.
You have been listening to Food Comes First, a program produced by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations for World Food Day.